This is the highest possible level that the human being, per se, is capable of achieving. And that is, it does lie within the potential of when all the factors that are necessary come together for a human being to reach that level of existence that he would be akin to an angel. Interestingly enough, I mean, you do have Chazal to the effect that Moshe Ben Lomais, it's said by a number of people, Moshe Ben Lomais, and here's a good illustration. It is because he already in his life had achieved that state. What is Misa? Misa means the separation of the physical from the physical. Because we don't believe that there's a death of the neshama, but everybody experiences death. Experiencing death means experiencing a certain type of a change. That is to say that the neshama has an aliyah. The aliyah is due to the fact that that which was holding it down, the tzarchei haguf, prevents us from achieving our full potential. But Moshe Rabbeinu, even in life, had achieved that state. It was like a malchei asher, so there's no misa for him. Misa had, meaning to say, functionally speaking, there was no misa. It had no purpose. It had no effect. So now we understand the fundamentals, in a general way, about the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was in a different class. As a Navi, and in terms of the quality of his nevuah. The question, of course, is what relevance does this have to the rebuke of Aaron and Miriam? And how does this fit into our concept of Lashon Hara? Interestingly enough, the parsha over here does not contain what, if I would have asked you in the first place, what you would have imagined it should contain. And that is, most people would say that it should have contained the information that Moshe did not do this of his own accord, but he did it at the command of God, the Atta Poem of the Madi. They didn't know that. So then the rebuking party, I would imagine, would say, Moshe didn't do this of his own accord, this was God's command. So how are you attributing it to Moshe? And that should have been the rebuke, but it's not. That's the whole thing. It's not saying, not telling them that you were wrong and Moshe did this at my behest. The mistake was that you lacked fear to talk about Moshe. Now, what do you mean you lacked fear? If you go back to what they said, the essence was that Halo Gambano Dibar, that God spoke to us as well. And their mistake was that they, somehow or other, were placing Moshe Rabbeinu in some way, shape, or form within their own parameters, on their own level, so to speak. Now, on the surface, of course, this is difficult because they have to know that Moshe was in a higher plane. They weren't denying that. That Aaron knew that God had appointed Moshe. That's what God told them. V'racha v'samach v'libo. He'll rejoice for you. Moshe was concerned that he might be upset that I'm being chosen above him to be the leader. He's the older brother, but God said no, he'll rejoice. Of course they knew that Moshe Rabbeinu was the leader, but there's two ways that one can understand this. One can accept the fact that somebody else is number one, and I'm number two or three or four or five, but basically it's a quantitative difference. That is, we're not essentially different. On any given day, you know, I could be number one, whatever, but I'll admit that consistently he's better, that type of thing. But to recognize that there's no comparison, that he's in a completely different plane, so that the very rules of ordinary life don't apply to him and they apply to you, that's a different kind of a recognition. And apparently they failed in that regard. That they had they realized the full extent of the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu. And now again, the pasuk of Moshe's Anivus, you should have known for many reasons. Look at his Anivus. Had they fully appreciated the level of Moshe Rabbeinu, then they would not have been bothered. They would not have attributed it to any weakness or any mistake on his part. That's the chet. Madua lo yireisim. That's all. I don't have to tell you where it came from, who commanded. Madua lo yireisim. You should have known that this is not your area. This is beyond you. You have no right to speak in this area. Because Moshe Rabbeinu is b'chol beisi nemanu. Lo chein avdi Moshe. And you have a tough time accepting the fact that lo chein avdi Moshe. That God relates to many people, and the tzaddikim and so forth. It's true, you're Nevi'im, and God did speak to you, and that's a tremendous thing. But lo chein avdi Moshe. Lo chein avdi Moshe. That's a reality. It's not a pleasant reality for people on a very high level, because everybody would want to be Moshe. Lo chein avdi Moshe. Everybody would like to, you know, have that said about themselves. It's meant to say that if it's a chait, any chait has to do with a certain distortion, which has to do with a certain emotion in a person. As great as Aaron and Miriam are, we can't say that they didn't have emotion, that they weren't human. That doesn't make any sense. There's no such thing, and clearly they were punished. So clearly they sinned. On any level that you're on, it's always there. You can never be complacent. You can never believe in yourself. Thus we see something very fascinating about the Torah's concept of Lashon Hara. And I want to now go back to the original question, that there's a connection between the Lashon Hara of Miriam and that of the spies. Now Rabbi Chait gave a very fascinating explanation on this point, which I'm going to convey. In fact, I asked him this question many, many years ago about the Lashon Hara, about the land. How can you have such a concept since the land doesn't care, doesn't have feelings, and so forth? Now, his interpretation was that the essence of their chait was not so much in the fact that they had fear, but rather than acknowledge their fear, they denied it. And to do so, they had to distort the reality. So therefore, the formula of Lashon Hara is a situation where a person has a certain emotion which is troubling him, and rather than deal with the emotion, they prefer to distort, to project it onto something else. And very often, this fits in with what Chazal said, that kol haposel mimu haposel, that whoever disqualifies others, whoever criticizes others, constantly criticizes others, it's mimumo. It's usually a hidden defect that he has, but rather than face up to it and deal with it, he criticizes it in others. So people that are constantly criticizing someone about a particular thing, it's generally speaking an indication of a weakness that they have. And that's why it's so destructive. The reason why Lashon Hara is so destructive is not so much because of the harm you do to somebody else, it's because of the harm you do to your own self. It destroys your own soul. Because this prevents you from ever really making any progress. You have a built-in mechanism of defense, of avoidance. And that the avoidance is that you project it on, criticize others. So that's why it's Lashon Hara. They disqualified the land. It's not because the land cares. It's rather because that mechanism is in effect. And they saw the same mechanism in effect by Miriam and Aaron. They didn't take Musar. Because there too you see the same thing, that there was a distortion about the nature of Moshe Rabbeinu, that he was Anav Mikol Adam, that Moshe Rabbeinu was the Rabban Shel Nevi'im, that he reached a certain level, and they failed to give full recognition to the level of Moshe Rabbeinu because it bothered them. The same, you have the exact same thing. It troubled them. That is to say that they wanted to be, perhaps, I don't want to start to speculate what their emotions were, but whatever the case may be, it's not that difficult to imagine, and you see it in their statement, that God spoke to us too. So they were willing to accept the fact that Moshe was greater, but the full weight of that differentiation, of Moshe's greatness, That is, there's no really common denominator to the extent that he does not go back to the Ohel. And you are people of the Ohel. That's a completely different way of understanding it. So that was the chet. Madu lo yireisem, how did you not fear? It means to say that you were not prepared to acknowledge the reality of Moshe Rabbeinu. There was a distortion over there, and therein lies the essence of the chet of Lashon Hara. That explains all the questions, that they didn't have any intention for his gnai. And the reason why this is chosen by the Torah, in my opinion, to be the classical example of Lashon Hara, and the Zohar, to remember the case of Miriam, is to show you that ultimately the purpose of the prohibition of Lashon Hara is not a practical one, of the danger you harm, the harm. It's the Lashon Hara of the Tzaddikim, which indicates that it's really all about your own perfection. That's the idea that emerges. The Kal Vachomer, Miriam had no intention to hurt him in any way. To the contrary, she loved him. And she was punished, Kal Vachomer, for ordinary people who have bad motives. How much more so we have to guard ourselves against this, because it's much, much worse and destructive on many levels. So that's but the point is that a person should not have the idea that it's just a question of hurting somebody else. If that's the case, it's very dangerous, because there are many cases where you're really not going to hurt somebody else. Very often you can spend hours talking about someone behind their back, and then to their face you're very friendly with them, or then you hardly ever see them and they don't even find out about it. It is very possible to have that you're not hurting the other person really, because it doesn't make any difference. That's what people engage in all the time. They sit around and gossip about the politicians, about other people. And the people don't even know that you're talking about them, or whatever the case may be, but it's a defect. It's a very defective kind of a behavior. And even if halakhically it doesn't violate it. It's important for a person to study the underlying reasons, the deeper reasons, for things like Lashon Hara. Because the traditional way of looking at it, that it's not right, you're hurting another person, and all of that, without really understanding what's so bad about it in terms of yourself, makes it difficult to overcome Lashon Hara. Because that is probably the hardest, single hardest thing to overcome. We always talk, we constantly talk, and it provides a tremendous outlet. There's a lot of energy in talking and enjoying the weaknesses of others is a great enjoyment. Makes a person feel better, even though there's no reason why it should. But it does, and you don't really see how you're hurting yourself, because what am I doing wrong? If the other person doesn't find out about it, so what? The point is, though, that you're destroying your own soul, and it keeps the person totally bogged down in the world of the instinctual. And it is extremely, extremely important to remove yourself from that verbal gratification in order to step back. And if, in fact, a person can learn a great deal. You can learn a great deal about yourself from the Lashon Hara that you speak, because if you stop and analyze it, why am I doing this? Or you stop doing it, what was my emotion? What emotion was I trying to satisfy? You learn a lot about yourself and how you function. And then once you see that, once you understand that, then you won't really have any desire for the Lashon Hara. You won't have any real desire for it. You got to see clearly what it is, the imaginary enjoyment that you're getting, and why it's not a good, and why it's not an enjoyment. Of course, there's another way to approach it, and that is, obviously, to cultivate good discussion. There's many different things you need to do, many different arenas, many different areas to combat something like Lashon Hara. And one is, of course, to understand how harmful it is. But people get together and people are always talking, and then you have to be able to cultivate a different type and level of discussion. Of course, the best is Torah, but even now your person's not talking Torah all the time, but even when you're talking about other things, it's sichas chulin. The ordinary talk of a person should be about intelligent things. There's chachma out there, there's other subjects you can discuss and analyze and learn from without indulging. This is the most base type of thing.